And here's the thing. He's going to come on it. People are not, it's going to be a mystery. He could come. Everything's fulfilled. You say, well, the temple's got to be built over in Jerusalem yet. Hey, the way modern technology, do you think they can't build a temple in 3.5 years? They don't have to have a temple till the middle tribulation, so the Antichrist can go in. They can, man, the way they put things up, they can put things up in 6 months now. Hello? Maybe it's already there. Maybe they're just going to take over one that's already there. Who knows? Can anyone say amen? Why am I saying this? If you're not saved, make sure you are saved. Because this is not no joke. The world's falling apart, and it's a reason. Jesus said it would. He said it'd be like the sea raging, roaring, and tossing and turning. And that's how this world is right now. I'm glad I don't have hope in this world. I got hope in the Lord. Amen. He's coming back. If you've never made him your Savior, I'd do it. I'd even do it right now. I'd just bow my head and say, dear Jesus, save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die, or take me up in the rapture. I'd ask him to do that right now. I would. I'm not kidding you. If you've never asked Christ to save you, the Bible says, for whosoever, that means anybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 11. So glad you're here. David, thank you for that good song. Brother Mark, thank you for leading and singing. Good job. Danny, the title of the message is, If Thou Hast Been Here. I'm just going to use the verse that Martha actually said. John chapter 11. By the way, before we stand, why don't we bow our heads? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know if you die, if you'd go to heaven, or you don't know if the Lord would come in the clouds, and he could come. He could come. I'm serious. He could come before this day's out. They didn't believe the flood was going to come in Noah's day, but it came. Jesus always fulfills his word. He's coming. Are you ready for his coming? You could do this from your heart, and God would save you right now. I'm not talking about being a member. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm talking about just making Christ your Savior. You could say this prayer, dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, and I believe you died for my sins. Jesus, I believe you arose from that grave that third day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven. Take me to heaven when I die. Lord, I'm trusting you with my salvation. I'm asking you to save me right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And all God's people said? Amen. All righty, let's stand for reading God's word. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Look at verse 1. At Mrs. Adams' funeral, the preacher preached from this chapter. What a great chapter it is. And I thought I'd share a few things with you this morning from it. In John chapter 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore her sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Aren't you glad he loves you today? You're here today. I want you to know Christ loves you. Even if you don't love him, he still loves you. And when Jesus heard that he had said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. Many people believe that 2 days represents a spiritual application for 2,000 years. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. See, it's almost been 2,000 years since Jesus has been here. Then he's coming back. Hello? Anyways, then after that, he to raise us from the dead. Hello, anybody home? Verse 7, after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea. Again, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth, not because he seeth the light of this world, but if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. We talked in Sunday school about having that great light of Christ. These things, by the way, you're missing out on Sunday school if you're not coming at 10:30. I'm teaching on baptism, and as we're still on verse number 2. Boy, you ought to come. We're getting some great stuff out of this. It's some good stuff, I'm telling you. These things he said after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. In other words, he died. And he said, I'm going to bring him back to life. But the disciples didn't understand that. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. They never get it, do they? They just don't get it. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had taken of rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then I love that. Thomas, hang loose, Thomas. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. That's about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, that's my title, Danny. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. If you'd have been here, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. Are you with me? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Heavenly Father, I really believe you put this in my heart. Help me to speak well today. People need to hear from the precious word of God. What a great truth, how Christ can bring the dead back to life. And Lord, I'm glad we have a risen, real Savior. Because he's resurrected, we know we'll be resurrected. Because he lives, I know we'll live. Because he overcame death and hell in the grave, I know we're going to overcome through him and because of him. And Lord, I just pray today that Christians would be encouraged, and those that might never trusted you as Savior will grab hold of eternal life, and they'll have faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We ask these all in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you'll notice verse 21, Martha's words to Jesus, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. You know, many times we blame Jesus for things that happened to us. Did you ever notice that? She was actually blaming Jesus. Lord, if you'd have been here, I know you can still make it, but if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Many times things happen to our life, things happen to our family's life, things happen to our friends' lives, and we say, you know, God gets blamed for a lot of things. By the way, can I tell you he gets wrongfully blamed? And sometimes we say things we shouldn't to God. Many times we think things that we shouldn't about God. It's amazing what we think and say about God. By the way, we've all thought sometimes. You know, I've got mad when it snows a lot. Why does it always have to snow on Sunday? I'll be pouting. Rosie said, preacher, God knows all about it. I say, yeah, I know he knows all about it, and I don't like it at all. God's got a purpose, so I'm glad he don't smite me. I'm glad he don't smite you. Amen? How many are glad God's long-suffering? Boy, I know I am. You know, in my 27 years of pastoring, I'm amazed what people say and think. I'm amazed what goes through people's minds. I'm amazed what comes out of people's mouths. I'm telling you, I should write a book with all the things I've heard in my life. I noted this. Beware. Satan can't get your soul once you're saved, but he will attack your spirit and your mind. A Christian cannot be possessed by the devil, because in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But Christians can be oppressed, because 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether of God." I think many times we get caught up in things and we think maybe God's making us think that, or God's making us say, and by the way, it isn't God. By the way, you want to know when God's in it? I'll give you, when we want to measure something, we use a ruler or a tape measure, don't we? Let me give you a tape measure right here. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. If your thinking's in that line, it's of God. If it's not in that line, it's another spirit. Can anyone say amen? And so I want you to be aware of that, because many times good people are attacked. Now let's look at the scripture and see if we can learn a great practical lesson from Mary and Martha. I'm going to try to apply it to your life and my life. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, therefore the sisters sent unto Jesus, saying, "Lord, behold, thou whom thou lovest is sick." In other words, hey, Jesus, our brother Lazarus is sick. I got a thought there, Mark. I'm not saying that Mary and Martha just wanted to call for Jesus just when their brother was sick. But why is it? Why is it, church? Many times we don't call on Jesus until we've got a problem. I'm not saying that they weren't close and they didn't call on Jesus all the time. But isn't it amazing? Why is it all the time, Brother Eddie, when we got a real problem, we're quick to go to Jesus? But boy, when everything's fine and dandy and roses, we don't talk to him at all. Hello? Why is it that we don't go to him until we really need him? You know, we try to use, and then they said, "Our brother, whom thou lovest." A little butter up. Isn't it great to know God loves us? He does love you. He loves you, even though you don't know it. Sometimes we try to use this, though. "Lord, if you love me, then you'll do this for me." Even our wives do that on you guys. Or you kids will try to do your parents. "If you really love me as parents, you'll let me do this." Hello, anybody home? Listen, God loves us. His love for us is always constant. His love for us is always continuous. Brother Andrew, whether he grants our prayer or not. By the way, God always answers our prayers. God always answers our prayers. He just might not answer the way we want it. He might, you know, "Lord, I'm asking you to do this, you haven't done it." We never think, well, maybe he's saying no. "Hello, I'm asking, but I'm not seeing nothing." Could it be maybe he's saying no? Like the kids, "Hello? No, 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 no." Watch. Whether he does what we ask of him or not, even though many times we do not understand, God doesn't grant our petitions because he does love us. I didn't always allow my children, Jimmy, to do things because I thought what they were asking me might be not good for their life. So because I love my children and my grandchildren, many times grandpa spanks them or yells at them or makes them get in line. If I didn't care about them, I'd say, "Go ahead and do it." You know, Even in school, I kind of watch over the kids like a mother type, even though I don't want to be, if they don't have their coats on in the gym, I'll say, get your coats on, you're going to catch pneumonia. Then I got a whole school full of sick kids. But the reason preacher yells is because I'll say, I want all you on this one side. By the way, I want to commend you, BBCA. Last Friday, everybody was on this side for chapel. And by the way, you did a good job, Brother Mark. And I want to commend Brother David. It was perfect last Friday. Preacher comes all the time and rips on the kids. I want to praise you today for you, the BBCA students. Many times we say or think, God doesn't love me because he didn't do what I prayed for. How many of you have ever done that? I don't think God loved me because I prayed for this and he didn't do it. Anybody home? Or God doesn't love me because he would not let this happen. If he really loved me, preacher, he wouldn't let this happen in my life. How many of you ever had that pity party? You ever notice who shows up at the pity party? Three people. Me, myself, and I. There's always three represented at a pity party. Me, myself, and I. Or God doesn't love me because if he did, this would not happen. Or God must, here's one. God must really be mad at me for this to be happening. He must be really mad at me. Was he mad at Lazarus? Was he mad at Mary? Was he mad at Martha? Hey, man, Lazarus died. He was sick unto death. Look at the next verse. By the way, you said no. No, no, no is the right answer. No, he did. No, he was not mad. No, he did love him. No, he did care about him. No, he was concerned for him. He was. He was. Look at verse 4. When Jesus heard this, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Now, verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha. He loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. How many see that? Yet, did he answer their prayer right away? Did he come to their rescue right away? Did he let them go through a heartache and some hardship and some sickness and even death? Did they experience some sorrow? All that time, did he still love them? Look up here. Many of you are going through some heartache and some sorrow, struggles and some trials of life, and Satan's going to tell you, he don't love you, he don't love you, he don't love you. I'm going to tell you right now, he does love you, he does love you, he does love you, he does love you. Amen. Don't listen to Satan. He loves you. He loves you today. His eye is on the sparrow, and you're more important than all the sparrows of the world. He let this happen to Mary and Martha and Lazarus because he loved them. Because many times, Rod, we have to go through some things in life and God strengthens us through those trials. It's through the fire that we get tested. It's through the fire that makes us feel strong. It's the fire that purifies the gold. Are you with me? Our Christian faith is tried and tested, but God's love is always constant and continuous. And by the way, it's not contingent. See, look up here. Whether I love God or not, he loves me. See, we're all human. If you love me, I love you. If you don't love me, I don't love you. Hello? But God says, I don't care if you love me or not. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Amen? God, I've heard people, God must really hate me for him to allow this. It's got nothing to do with God hating you. It's got nothing to do with God being mad at you. We lived in a perverse, crooked world. There's more thorns on a rose than just, there's more than just the beauty of the rose. There's thorns below the rose. Hello? Everything's just not always so splendid. Listen, The Lord has a reason and a purpose in each thing that happens in our lives. If he doesn't change it, because there's a purpose for it. If you look in verse 4, when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. There was a reason for that sickness. By the way, I noted, there was a reason in Genesis 37, Genesis 50. There was a reason that God let Joseph be sold, be put in the pit. There was a reason that he let Joseph be sold into slavery. There was a reason that he let a woman lie about him so he'd be thrown in jail for years. There was a reason. There was a reason. By the way, God loved Joseph all the time. He didn't do anything wrong. But if he hadn't been in the jail, he wouldn't be able to tell that baker and butler their dreams. Then the butler couldn't be able to tell Pharaoh about his dreams. Hey, there's a man from God that can interpret dreams. And then he interprets Pharaoh's dreams. Says there's going to be 7 famine years and 7 good years. There's going to be 7 good years of plenty. Then there's 7 famine years. And boy, we better pack all the storehouses full because those last 7 years are going to be bad. And not only did he save all of Egypt, but Israel, all the 12 tribes of Israel came in and he saved them. Hello? By the way, they came in with 75. They left with over 2 million. See, there was a reason. Yeah, I got a kick. I watched 95% sports on TV. And I was watching, it's called History Channel. And Andy, Marlena, they were down doing all these sphinx in Egypt and stuff, and these pyramids, and they said, man, there was a big drought. And they were actually trying to figure out. They were going down this 90-mile stretch. They're saying, man, there was more here. He said, boy, they said, there must have been an amazing drought. Back in Pharaoh's day, I said, yeah. It's recorded in the book of Genesis. They're spending millions of dollars. I could have given the answer in 2 minutes. I would have given for $500,000. Would have been a good down payment on our new church building. Stick with the old Bible, Joe. You can't go wrong with it. And here they're trying to prove, I said, you bumbleheads. They're saying, yeah, this was a... And they were going on. Did anybody see the same thing I saw? They're saying, yeah, this was devastating. Matter of fact, only thing that was left was right here. I said, that's exactly where that's where Joseph was. Hello? Never thought to ask what the scripture says. So they're spending all this big documentary on history. And I said, wow. First book in the Bible would have covered that. Not a whole lot. Just go 38 chapters in and you get pretty close to it. Amen? You know what? Look up here. You can trust this Bible. You can trust. Hey, I can lie and I can falter and I can make mistakes. But this Bible, you don't trust me. Don't put your faith in me. I'm just a man. But you can put your faith in God's word. And you can put your faith in the Son of God. He'll never fail you. Amen? So anyways, I got to get off the History Channel and see where I'm at here now. It just tickled me. It tickled me. I think that's one reason I wanted to preach. I said, oh, these people are idiots. Anyways, in verse 4, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but it's for the glory of God. Now, listen to me. Many times, we question God's ways and motives. Many times in our, we say, I don't know why God's doing this in my life. How many of you have ever said that? I don't know why God's doing this in my life. God, I've even said, Lord, I don't understand what we're doing. How many of you have ever done that? Raise your hand if you have. Rest of your line. Okay. Lord, I'm going through it, And I'm not complaining, but I'm really wondering why. And a lot of times we go through things in life and we wonder why. But I want you to understand something. Even though I don't know why, God knows what's best for my life. Someday he'll reveal it to us. Are you with me? Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says this. Jesus, the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Boy, am I glad about that. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God knows more than we do. He knows what's best for our lives, and we ought not question things that come into our life because God knows more than we do. Sometimes we get mad and pout and get angry at him. And God looks down and says, I know, but I love you. And see, I don't think Joseph, even though you never see him complaining, I don't think he enjoyed all those things, but it sure worked for good, didn't it? Romans 8:28 says, For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For two groups of people, things work good for those that love God and those who are going to be called. Those who are going to be saved in the future. Amen? We don't know all the time what God has in store for us. That's why we must always trust him. In good times and in bad times. We don't have no trouble trusting him in good times, do we? It's in the bad times we have a hard time trusting them. Well, we'll look at this chapter 11. I'm going to get to the end of it. We all know the story. Has a happy ending. In verse 40, Jesus comes. Look at verse 40. Jesus said unto thee, that if thou wouldest believest that thou shouldst see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus came. Amen? In verse 43, Jesus spoke. Look at verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Brother Coolidge, you and I are preaching. We said, and this is the truth. I believe he said the reason he only said Lazarus, if he had just said come forth, I believe everybody in those graves that were in those would all came forth. He specified just Lazarus. Amen. Lazarus, because he knows the Bible says that the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth who are his. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Look at the next verse. Jesus came, Jesus spoke, and Lazarus arose from the dead. Look at this. And he that was dead, he was dead. He was dead for 4 days. Came forth, look how he's bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound upon with a napkin. Look it up here. Look up here. He was wrapped. How many ever seen a mummy? The day Jesus raised the mummy from the dead. Someday I'm going to get Andy during VBS. Hey, we ought to do it this year. I ought to make you a mummy, Andy. Have you come out of it. We ought to make a casket and have Andy come right out of a casket. Scare the kids right out of their willies. Think about that. Even for a skit would be phenomenal. This year's VBS. Hey, but we'll say, come alive and VBS or something. Anyways, think about it. Get your minds working. What? How many are still with me? Don't tell the kids we're doing it. See this man here with a mummy? He's a picture of every one of you and I. He was dead, and how come he rose? Because Jesus brought him back to life. See, you're dead in your trespass and sin, and the only way you're going to live again, you got to have Jesus bring you back to life. Amen. Look what he says there in verse 44. And Jesus said to him, loose him! All those wrappings is a picture of all our sins. And when Jesus saves us, you people that just got saved recently, Those wrappings are a picture of all. And Jesus said, take them all off. Because when he saves you, he forgives you of all your sins. You're loose. You're free. You're not bound anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that great to be free? What a great picture. Amen. And I got here. Wow. If Mark, think with me now. I'm wrapping it up right now. I did all that to give you these two sentences. Think about, I put, wow. Yep, you too, baby. She got excited too. She's all right. She got excited too. She likes that mummy raising out of death. If Martha would have understood all this, you think she would have got bent out of shape? You think she would have been so mad at Jesus? You think when Jesus came, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Hello? You think she might have, kids, you think if she knew this was going to happen, she might have chilled out? Hey, preacher. I still don't know how to run a seat. I still don't know how to run a cell phone, so don't call me. Now listen to me. I want you to get this. This is the whole reason I preached it. Boy, all the agony, all the sorrow, all the stress. All she got worked up. They got. Can you imagine what they went through over this ordeal? And then Jesus comes. Brings her brother back to life. Wow. If I would have known this was going to happen, I would have never said what I said. I would have never thought what I thought. I would have never did what I did. Can I say this to you? We have the same promises of God that Martha did. We have the same Savior as Martha did. Are you still with me? And just like Jesus came through for them, even though it's been 2,000 years, Brian, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in 2008, he's going to come through for you. He's going to come through for Robin and Coolidge. He's going to come through for Lizzie and Eddie. Are you with me? You put your name there. He's going to come through for Mike Hills. Yes, he is. He's not going to come through for Jack. Yes, he is. Yes, he is, Jackie. On Father's Day, he is. Notice, this is it, I'm done. Aren't you glad? Now, you know what I'm getting, you that are visiting, when I say I'm getting done, that means I'm a lot closer than what we were. It doesn't really, I'm not done, but it's I'm done with what I've already said. Now I forgot what I was going to say, Rod. Oh, Lord, help me on this. You realize if Martha would have realized the providential care, she could have saved herself a whole lot of heartache and stress and a lot of other sleepless nights and agony and everything else. Can I say this to you, children of God? Jesus is the same God for you, same Savior. And Sister Cochran, he's going to be there for you too, just like he was for Martha. And you know what? Look up here now. I'm almost done. Lizzie, we just got to say, Lord, we don't understand it, but I know I'm in your providential care. See, I believe in the providence of God. I don't understand it, but God does. Brother Dick, I don't understand all things that happen, but God does. He knows what's going on with your heart that you went through. He knew about it. He knew when Mona went to Florida that she'd be coming back to see her daddy go up to heaven. Look up here. Children of God. We got the promises of God's continual love and his watchfulness and his care. Ann Saylor sings a song, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me." By the way, he is watching you. And even though you might not think it sometimes, and you say, "Oh, God doesn't care and God doesn't love me," he does love you, he does care, and he's going to be there. He's going to come through for you just like he did for them, because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. One last thought, and I mean this for, I'm telling you the truth. Look at this promise that he gave to all people, and I'll close with this. Verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I'm in chapter 11, "I am the resurrection." By the way, that's how come you know Jesus is the real one. Romans 1:3 says, you can know that God said the one that raises from the dead is the true Son of God. He's like the kids from Coca-Cola. He's the real thing. He is. Jesus said to him, under her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Grandpa Lemley didn't die. He's with Jesus right now. He's with him having a great time. And look at all the people he's got to tell them jokes to. And Gary's got a whole eternity in all heaven. Wow, Grandpa's going to have a blast. Amen. I can't wait to see him. I'll say, "Grandpa, tell me about the duck. You got any duck food?" He had so many great jokes, and he knew he remembered every one of them too. Listen to me. We've got a great Savior. I know. Look up here. We're all going to go through some real scary times in life. Don't panic. He's in control. Now, if he was out of control, I'd worry. We get out of control, but he's in control. Look at that verse, though, for people here who never trusted Christ as their Savior. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Yeah, all people are going to die physical death. But he's talking about when you die, you live forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. Grandpa Lemley and Mrs. Brother Cochran, they took their last breath, but they're with the Lord right now. But they didn't die. They just graduated to heaven. We're just waiting for the Lord to come to call us up with them. Amen. Oh, their body's in the grave. That's going up. That soul and spirit's going to go. They're going to have a brand new body. Like, we're going to get a brand new body. It's never going to get old. Never going to get sick. Never going to die. Never had no. Oh, man, hallelujah. No wonder heaven's heaven. I ain't going to take no blood pressure pills. Amen. I'm not going to need eye medicine, ear medicine, you name it. I'm not going to need Bengay to rub on my back for all the aches and pains. Hello? Isn't that great? Joe, you guys might even grow some hair. You and Mike Porter. Never know. Maybe mine. Who knows? It's going to be heaven. Amen. Those that put their trust in Christ will live forever. Amen. Christian, he loves you. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's best for you. His eye is on the sparrow, Matthew 10:29, and he cares more about you than all them. Trust him not only with your eternal soul. Trust him not only with your eternal... When I do this, I'm getting close. We'll trust him with our eternal soul, but we won't trust him with our life here. Why would we trust him for eternity and not trust him for earthly measures? We'll trust him for the eternal, and we won't trust him for the earthly temporal. Let's trust him all the time. He came through for Mary and Martha. He'll come through for you. If you're here today, Jesus Christ is not a swear word. He's the Son of God. Yes. He's real. He's alive. He's in heaven looking down. He really is. His eye's on you today. And by the way, He's coming back. Someday that rapture is going to happen. And this church is going to be pretty well emptied. All that know Christ as Savior are going to go up. Like if it happened right now, Brother Coolidge, we'd go up in a moment, twinkle an eye. Let me ask you this before I pray. If the rapture had happened right now, and it could, would you still be setting? Or would you go up? To go up, you must have faith in the Son of God. If you would die this week, and I would preach your funeral, could I say you were in heaven? Or would I have to say, I don't know, he died or she died without faith in Jesus Christ? Eternity's really important. Make sure you're prepared. The prophet cried out, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Everyone should be prepared to meet God. You get prepared by making Christ your Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for the time that we've had. And I pray you'll bless now, Lord God. I thank you for the great promises and provisions you give to all your children. Help us to believe and to trust you. Even when the days are dark and dreary, Lord, help us to know that you love us and that you're working out something. And you know what's far better for us. And Father, even though we're going through some things that are not comfortable and not pleasant, Father, you've got something better in store for us down the line. And that you always know well what's best for us way before we do. And Father, way beyond what we would ever know. Help us to believe in your divine providence of watching over us. Help us to accept all things that come, no matter what state we're in. Help us to be happy with you. And Father, I pray that if there'd be any here today that's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray, dear God, people would get saved today before it's everlasting too late. Let them see the glorious Son of God that loves them so much, that died for them, shed his blood for him, rose that third day, risen, walked on this earth 40 days, and then went back to heaven, coming again for all that have faith in him. Help them to look to you today unto salvation, we pray. And Lord, I pray for Christians that are going through some real trying days. Help them to have faith that you're going to see them through this. We pray these things in Christ's name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Christian, let me ask you, I'm curious. How many would say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I'm going through some real trying times right now. And preacher, I'll be honest with you, the Lord spoke to my heart today. He helped me. I was really wondering if he really cared. Pray for me that I would just keep trusting him to get me through this. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. 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 Yes, ma'am. Yes, back there. God bless you. Yes. I see it way back there. I saw it. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I see that. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Who else? Include me. Yes, I see that hand. I saw that, sir. Way in the back to the right. Thank you. Yes, I see a young lady here. God bless you, honey. He does love you. Christ loves you. He does. He loves you today. Each one of you, he loves you. I don't know what you're facing, but he knows what you're facing. I might not see what you're going through, but he sees what you're going through. I might not feel and know what you're feeling, but he knows and he feels what you're going through. And he cares. He cares for you. Trust him. He's going to get you through it. He'll never put anything on us that we can't make a way to escape. He'll always be there for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You trusted him with your eternity. Trust him with the temporal earthly life that you have here. And then, if you're here and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to be saved today, Pastor, I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise anyone like that? I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Include me in that prayer. Preacher, include me in that prayer. You know, we said a prayer right after David Ballard sang, I led you in a prayer. Is there anyone that said that prayer? If you said that prayer, would you raise your hand? Anyone say that prayer that I led in prayer earlier? Yes, I see that. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless your heart. Who else? Yes, I see that hand back there. God bless you. I see that. Maybe you raised and I didn't see your hand. Today, you that asked Christ to save you, I saw at least two hands. There's a lot of people in here. There's two sides. It's hard for a preacher to pick everything up. But I know I saw at least two hands. If you really did ask Christ to save you today, and you meant it from your heart, Jesus saved you, and you're on your way to heaven. And the next thing you should do in obedience, not to get to heaven, because you're already there, you're going to be there no matter what, but because you trusted him, you should come up and tell people a public profession of faith. You should come forward today and say, I made Jesus my Savior. You should make a public profession of your faith. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He's not ashamed of you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the response. And Father, I just pray you'll bless all these that trusted you today. Bless those that are going to be baptized. Bless those that are going to join the church. And Lord, just get glory for all this service, we pray. And be with these folk. Lord, a lot of them have a lot of things in their life. Oh God, come down. Come down and be with each one, Father. Lord, I would to God today you'd put your arms around each one. Reach down from heaven even right now, Lord. Wrap your arms around them. Oh God, hug them from heaven. May your arms and may they feel the warmth of Christ around them. Lord, may they know that you're there with them, that you love them, and that you care. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Brother Mark? Those are going to be baptized. You come forward.